Okay. So we're up to really the next Masters, the next Sugya in the Gemaras, which is Birchas Chasanim, or Birkat Chatanim, which is right what we generally refer to as Sheva Brachos. And the Gemara just brings it up really as a matter of course. I'm just gonna make this a little bit smaller so it's maybe easier for your screens and for me to actually see you guys at the same time. Amar of Chalbo, Amar of Huna, Amar of Abba Bar Zavda, Mash, right, the next Gemara. Amar of Acha, Besula Achat Besula, Betula of Achat Almana, Teuna Bracha. Okay, both of Betula and Almana need a Bracha. Okay? Umi Amar of Huna Hachi, right, Vamar of Huna, Almana, Ena Teuna Bracha. So lo kasha kan bi bachur shenasa almana, kan ba almon shenasa almana. So, and he says, oh, he does need, there does need bracha, right? What is bracha? It just doesn't say. It just, oh, there's bracha. Or kind of does need bracha. It's a stira. And the answer is, oh, here's an almana who's marrying to an almana who's marrying a widower. And here, where he has never been married, right? Who's marrying an almana. So if one of them basically has never been married, then and almana, then you would say bracha. Okay. Now, we will spoil that bracha here means is going to mean sheva brachos, but fundamentally, all right, the Gemara hasn't told us that yet, right? Which I think is just interesting. Right? Just bracha. What does it mean? You need a bracha. Right? Just, like, I think it's just an interesting like thing. That's like to us because we know what sheva brachos are. Right. So, well, you kind of come from this Nikudat Mabat, right? At least, like, okay, I know what Sheva Brachos are. Oh, do they need Sheva Brachos or not? Right. And it kind of fits into my head. It's like the Sheva Brachos thing. The more and more I think about it, right, the more I realize, like, wait a second. I don't know that these are Sheva Brachos, right? I mean, I'm going to know it in a minute, but, or I can intuit it, but I assume or I understand automatically that, like, Sheva Brachos means, like, a certain thing. Right? It's kind of its own unique thing. As opposed to when I talk about is something ta'un bracha or not, right? That opens up the whole bag of all the different possible brachos, right? Now, obviously, we're talking about some sort of ishus specific bracha, and in the end, I'm going to know that it's sheva brachos, right? But I don't know what is the nature, what is the brachaness of sheva brachos? What type of bracha are they, right? What's their purpose? What does it mean that you need ta'un bracha? Right, you could also formulate it that differently. Right, you teuna bracha and not teuna bracha. Right, is different than saying mivarchim, omrim bracha, mivarchim. Right, you could talk about it in different ways. It needs, it requires. Right, right. For the mandatoriness is interesting. Also, the subject is right that the bit achat bitula achat almana teuna bracha. She needs the bracha, right? It's not, is the wedding needs the bracha, or she needs the bracha, or in that case, right? It's just an interesting formulation where if we talk about like, oh, almanatu na bracha, right? Again, it doesn't necessarily help us understand 100% what it is, but that formulation already kind of makes you think, well, maybe, right? It's a bracha, on her? Is it on the ishus? Is it on their relationship? Like, what's the subject of the bracha? Yeah, Tehila.
First of all, apologies. That's really long. In terms of the content of the bracha, I think you're going to get to it later, but I was wondering if
you're coming through a little garbled.
I think someone a little okay.
Garbled for other people, or is it just me? It's also for other people?
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes it really is just me. You're going to write it? It also works. Yeah, that works too. Yeah, so that's just the first, that's something, only on rereading the Gemara that I really notice that that emphasis, right, is totally not something that you take for granted. Thing number one. Thing number two, right, is like why are we making a distinction, right? What's the difference? Yes, we can also, right. What's the difference between bracha on Kiddushin and Shav Bracha? So we will show up in the Gemara, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Although, mostly there, it's, I don't think so. You're right. It kind of feels like they're kind of both being referred to as Birkat Chatanim, but they're, I don't think they really are. It just kind of like, the Gemara does one of those quick context changes, or like, oh, we're talking about this one, so let's talk about that other one. So it kind of gives you that optical illusion. But I don't think they're both being referred to as Birkat Chatanim. But when we get to that, we'll discuss that, right? But I would say it's a good contrast, right? Which is, well, Birkat Eirusin, I know, right, seems to be something that's let's say. Right, it's a bracha, either Birkat HaMitzvah or like a sort of like a matir, right? Sila's pointing out it's she's connecting right to una bracha as something that is similar to the idea of a matir and an oser, right? Which is by the lashon of Birkas Erusin, she'asar lanu et arusot v'hitir lanu et anusuot, right? It's referencing like there's this oser and then there's a matir, right? So to una bracha definitely kind of gives this implication of Isser Beheter, right? I think it's very, very good. So you can say one formulation is, okay. Actually, it's segues us into a little bit further along, but that's perfect. Amar of Abba Bar Zavda, Marav, Chat Betula, V'chat Amunah, Tu'una Bracha, right? And Tila's being Medayik, that sounds like a matir, right? Sounds like, oh, then we're going to see a later that's a real Gisha, right, which is that no, actually, you really need like a matir in order for them to be together. You need to have the shav brachos, okay? And that kind of gives it like a strong rooting, like, oh, they need bracha. Now, that being said, right, what's very kind of striking, or what doesn't fit well in the Gemara with that approach? Okay, so idea number one, just to give context again, right, is Tila's pointing out, Tu'una Bracha sounds like it's like a matir. Right? It's a matir on there, Isha, on the Bia, V'chule. Yeah, Ita.
You just say the next line, the next bar, definitely need a matir for an almanah, and it wouldn't be possible if the Bracha was just matir that the next line would be applicable.
Right. Kids are a little garbled, but I'm 99% sure that what you said was, well, if it's a matir, right, then like, oh, you don't need a matir for an almana, you only need a matir for a b'tila, right? Okay, got it, right. Right, that would be very strange, right? Why would it say, oh, mi amarafuna, hachiv amarafuna, almana ina tuna bracha, right? You don't need, right? So, it's kind of like so sad. Like, right, he says you don't need it, right? So and then lokasha, right? Kan bebachul shana salmana, kan bealmon shana salmana, and then it says wait, but almon shana salmana lo, right? But we said minayin lebrachat chatanim ba basara sheneamar veikach hasara anashim mizikne ha'ir vayomer shivu po veyoshivu uboaz almon shana salmana. So wait a second, right? How do we know that you need 10 people for brachat chatanim? Funny again that we're skipping straight to the fact that you need 10. Right, and not where do we know that you need Birkat HaChatanim at all? They say, oh, we know that you need 10 from Boaz, and Boaz was an Almon who's Nasa Almana. So, my ina tuna bracha, dam ravuna ina tuna bracha kol shiva. Aval yom echad tuna bracha. She doesn't need all 7 days, but she doesn't need for one day. Right? Which again just brings us back to, okay, well, I kind of chop then. And say, oh, everyone, of course you need Shabbat Bracha. That helps us a lot more to say, okay, well, maybe Tuna Bracha really is like as a matir. But then the question of why were we mechalik between if they've been married before and if they haven't been married before, number one. And number two is why would one of them be 1 day and one of them be 7 days? Right? Yeah, Sammy.
It could also be Birchas HaShavach, which would also, I think, make a lot of sense as to why there would be a chiluk between Almana and a Besula, and also why there might be a Havamina that it would be not necessary in the case that there's an Almana and what's the word for an not a non-almon, whatever. For what?
Bachor.
Oh, right. So an almana and a bachor. And then we ultimately maskana, the only time it's not necessary is with an almon and almana, because it's really just like about like a threshold of like where is the amount of simcha that requires these brachot and like to what degree. And so that's just sort of like a question of where to place that. And also that works, I think, with the next part of the Gemara, it says, it's seemingly relating the two sugyot, which are fundamentally about simcha, which is different between almana and the besula.
You're right. Yeah, so Tila actually in the comments also pointed out that.
I apologize, I didn't see that.
No. You're making a good point about being a Berachas HaShevach. So Tila was just pointing out, like, oh, well, maybe the difference could be somehow connected to the Yehei Sameach Ita. So putting those together, right, you get a good argument on the second half of the Gemara, right? Suddenly would work kind of almost as if it's like a pivot to suddenly making sense of, oh, well, now let's talk about Yimei Simcha, right? Although again, it's important to note that the Yimei Simcha are different than the Sheva Brachos days, right? Because a Almana would have Gimel Yimei, right? Simcha, even though only one day of Sheva Brachos, and I think also a Bachur Shanasa Almana would have Sheva. If there's a Machlokas Lamaisa about whether they have Shiv Yimei Simcha or Gimel Yimei Simcha, because the Yimei Simcha are for her, but they would have Sheva Yimei Sheva Brachos. And then some Achronim say, no, it can't be that you'd have Sheva Brachos but be going to work. So you also have Sheva Yimei Simcha.
Also, the Maskana, the Lashon of the Bracha is, it sounds a lot like a Sheva.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's very good, right? So when we get to the Lashon of the Brachos, right, one of the big, let's say, counter arguments to the Tu'una Bracha as like a matir or something, right, or even a bracha on the Nisuin, like maybe, is it's right, it doesn't sound like that. We're going to get to the Lashon of the Brachos in a minute, but it sounds like very general praise to Hashem stuff, right?
It'd be problematic if it was a matir and you're Tali B'das Achirim. Because if it's a matir, then and it's like a formal halachic bracha, and the chasan or somebody else makes it, and it's totally bedata. And isn't that problematic?
So not necessarily, because let's say right, that's the goof of the reason why some people say the birka ata erusin after the erusin, but a lot of rishonim say to make it before the erusin.
But is that because it's not a matir, or is that because like? They're not saying make it before the erusin because making a bracha that's tali b'das achirim is okay. It's that it's
yeah. You can make a bracha. I don't think it's possible that you can't make a bracha that's tali b'das achirim. Meaning you go to the wedding, you both show up under the chuppah, right? And it's like okay, great. Like we're both under the chuppah, so we should all. It's all.
That's why tehillah
wants. You know, it's pretty much a done deal.
Very good.
And some say, oh, since it's Tali B'das Achirim, so really that's why in the minig we used to do it after, not before, you know, why we don't do it before, whatever. But it's, you know. Like,
really interesting shir.
What?
Really interesting shir. I don't know if you can hear me.
Shir, I hear you garbly. Nope.
I could text them. Or Sammy can share.
I think I know what I'm saying.
Right. He's like the Chavrusa telepathy.
Yeah, I think Eitan's referencing a shir that we heard, which is what I was also referencing, just without saying it, is we heard a shir a few weeks ago from Belai Rabbi here of Alex Ozar about making brachos that we were telling B'das Achirim. And honestly, I don't really remember the tochen so much of the shir, but it was interesting, and he talked about that.
Yeah, it definitely is a discussion, but it's not universal. I don't think it's universal. Again, I could be wrong. Honestly, I had to pick like one area that's like a major lacuna in my like knowledge. I'd say like Hilchos Brachos is actually surprisingly, like a weak point. I think it's because it's so popular, like, you know, almost like it's like a little brisker. So it's almost like, oh, this is like a popular mesechta that like people in, you know, even normal people know this area of halacha, like can't spend my time there. You know, I gotta go learn some taros. So I really need to brush up on my hilchos brachos. But I don't think it's a universally accepted opinion. It is an idea that definitely is, I think it's like a Ravid. I think it's like the famous example for, let's say for us, is I think it's the Ravid who says that you should only say the Berachas HaErisin afterwards, after the Kiddushin, because you never know if she's actually going to accept the Kiddushin. All right? So you're telling B'Dasa Chirim, and if she says, right, it's manish like, it's like out of a movie, right? You're standing at the altar, and the rabbi is there and says, you know, we are gathered here together today to join this man, this woman, you know, and in holy matrimony. And now we're going to say the bracha, right? They say the bracha to Arison. Oh, no, sorry, pause. Right? He says, if anyone, right, sees a reason why these two should not be bound in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace, right? He pauses for less than Toch Chidei Dibur, right? Then, since he's paused for less than Toch Chidei Dibur, he says, now say Berachas HaErisin. The Chassan starts saying Berachas HaErisin, right? He finishes. He's about to put the ring on her finger. And then, through the cathedral doors, bursts out, you know, the rabbi, and he says, I object! Like, you know, you can't get married in a cathedral. And then, obviously, they break up the whole wedding and they move it all to the shul. But it was mamish a bracha levatala, because even though she was standing under the chuppah, right, and they all had agreed to be there, right, but the last moment someone objected. So, basically, the rabbi says, like, you can't, right, it's totally b'das acherim. You can't make a bracha because you don't really know that you're going to be able to do it. If it's totally only on you, so you can say, well, I'm planning on doing this mitzvah. I'm going to go do it. It's only dependent on me. But once it's dependent on someone else, you can't make a bracha on the basis that someone else is going to do something. So I'm pretty sure that's what he says in order to explain like why that you should make the bracha afterwards. That's if I'm remembering correctly. What would the havamina be for them being so continuous that we wouldn't want to do it during Kiddushin? Not hopping. I think I got too wrapped up in my story about the I object. So I lost the train of thought. What's the havamina for them being so this is about the why we don't make the bracha. Why would someone do it doing Sheva Brachos? Oh no, this is about Berachas Erison, I think. Yeah, correct. Yeah, because it's right. Berachas Hasanim should be after, you know, for Nisuin, for once his daughter's a Chasan, right? Although we'll get to that again in a second. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so let's get back on track. So we have a discussion of Tu'una bracha, kind of talks, right, gives us the perspective of maybe it's a matir. Problems with that is why the discrepancy between an alman and an almana and a bachar and a psula, right? Idea number two is maybe it's connected to simcha, right? And there's the zimei simcha that could explain the discrepancy, right, between one day and 7 days, etc. What doesn't explain is why would it be tu'una. And we're going to see some other stuff which clashes with that. But that's definitely the idea, like of simcha, brachos shavach, I think would make a lot of sense in terms of the discrepancy in the days. Okay.
Can I ask a question? Sure. I mean, I guess two things. First of all, the discrepancy in the days, it seems like from the Gemara's discussion later on, like even though there is ultimately the discrepancy between like Yemei Simcha and Yemei Bracha, it seems like there was a havamina that there wouldn't be. So I felt like that in itself kind of made it feel like they're associated with simcha. But and I guess that kind of lends itself to my question, which is that, like, how come, why is it that Tuna is Tuna, like, or just the bracha being a matzir, is that like exclusive with it being able to be a bracha or an expression of simcha? Like, could it, like, for instance, like any, like a brachat shavach, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example, like a brachat shavach, like let's say we just had like brachat ilano, which I think is a brachat shavach, like, but that's right. Like, if you walk past a tree, like, you are required to say a bracha, but it doesn't make it not a brachat shavach. So that's, I guess I'm confused about, like, why those two are mutually exclusive.
Well, you're not really required, like, brachat ilano, you're not required to say it, right? In the sense that, or it's, you know, again, it's right.
I don't know, that's the best example. But anyway, so, yeah.
Is, I would say that the, you could say mevarchim, right? To say that, like, to almana teuna bracha, right, is not a formulation that I think is to'em, it being a brachas hashavach, right? If I was talking about a brachas hashavach, I'd say, in this context, you would make this following bracha, right? You heard thunder. You say, oh, wow, God, you're so great. Amazing thunder, right? You see the new trees blossoming. You should burst into rapturous song. You don't write to Una, right? When you eat an apple, you must make a bracha, right? Is a very different formulation. I don't see, when you see the first great example, you don't eat five apples and then wait till you see a really nice apple before you make a bracha, right? On Berachas Ha'ilanos, you very often pass by a lot of trees before you do it. In fact, you often pass by months worth of trees because you want to wait for Nisan, right? For whatever reason, for reasons that talks about it in Nisan. Is that Likuva? Is it not Likuva? Asher says you can make it not during Nisan, right? But we wait for Nisan because maybe it's adif to do it in Nisan, maybe you're supposed to do it in Nisan, right? We wait to see if we can, lechatzchila, two fruit trees next to each other, not just one, right? A lot of us will try to find, like, you know, find a really nice tree. So it's not, right? That's not a tu'una bracha, right? That's like a, there's this bracha that you get to do, which you're supposed to do. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Now that we spelled it out loud, I don't know that example that I gave, but yeah, like Rachel wrote in the group chat, like Brachat Torah maybe, or yeah, I just feel like, I guess it's a more general question of whether like Brachot Shavach are generally not Brachot that like are we would call Tuna.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying it's definitely not the right, the vibe that you would get when you talk about Tuna. A tuna is a requirement. It's this thing requires, right? Or this, you know, this situation demands, right? It's not like this situation offers the opportunity, right? And in such an opportunity, you gotta, you know, like if when you know when you hear thunder, so you should be, oh wow, you know, and make a bracha, right? But it's not like, oh, you must, right? It's not like, oh, if you want to hear thunder, or if you hear thunder, you know, if you're going to hear thunder, then you gotta, right? And you go like, oh well, you know, if I stuff my ears with wax, then I don't need to, right? It's not like I wouldn't say that there's, I don't know if there's any mila, in like stuffing your ears with earplugs over, you know, so that you don't have to make a bracha shekocho v'rasa versus just not making the bracha of kochel v'rasa.
Okay, I see. Right? Thank you.
Like, yeah, I would just another side point is that the mismatch that I'm talking about is the one between one day versus 7 days, not between like the simcha versus shavu brachos, but in terms of almana versus Almon the Almana versus Bachor and Basula is that why, if you know, whichever one, if it's of din in a matir, so then why would one of them have a different number of days of saying this bracha? Well, if it's a brichas hashevach, you could understand why there can be different levels of simcha, right? And shevach related to a first marriage versus a second marriage, right?
Yeah.
So as you see in the brachos, right? Not that, right? Second marriages aren't fully valid and important as well, right? But there's a certain like, oh, you know, for first marriage, we kind of like have a lot of the, you know, this imagery of like, oh, like, you know, miganeidem, mikedem, right? The zivug of Adam and Chava, right? We you know, we have this like very, very romantic, very, you know, idyllic picture of, you know, of what's possible. You know, and for second marriage, we're a little bit more, you know, more, I'd say more realist or more, not, I wouldn't say cynical, but, you know, it's already, you know, it's almost like a different stage in life where you're already more aware of the, you know, vicissitudes of fate, right? So we're a little bit more bridled in our joy and, you know, more, which, you know, can be good in terms of like how to sometimes live your life, right? But leads to less shevach and less odah and less, you know, less dreamy and less romantic about it. So that definitely would make sense in terms of the Berachas HaShevach side. Okay. The other questions? Okay, so we'll continue. Okay, and then just in the Hemshech, we're not going to go through the different cases, but basically, right, the Gemara is trying to figure out, okay, what if it's, you know, if it's Almon and Almana, then it's one. And if it's Bachur and Besula, then it's clearly seven, right? But what if it's what if we mix between the categories, right? What about that? So, you know, one option is he would say Bachur Shiva Lebracha, Shlosha Lesimcha, right? So if he's never been married, so he has Shava Brachos, 7 days of Shava Brachos, which equals 49 Brachos, right? And 3 days of Simcha, right? Or no, so if one, even if only one of them is never been married, then they do full Shava Brachos. Right? Basically, Varchim Lubsula Shiva, Ulamani Yomechad, my lav afilo almana shenishis bachar, lo la almon, or the bachar my Shiva, Ihachi, right? Listening to Varchim Lubsula Shiva, Ulamani, right? It goes a little bit back and forth. Seems like any one of them having never been married is sufficient, right? Which could be, is right. I don't know which way I would pull it, but I think it's interesting in and of itself. You know, I would have thought it would be more consistent or more obvious to the Gemara, right? That once this split between like one and, you know, one and seven exists, right? I would have thought that it's like, oh, you know, Kol Shiva is only in this case, right? Or Yomech is only in this case. Now, I feel like the fact that the Gemara is not sure, is it a din in him? Is it a din in her? Is it a din in either one of them? Right? Is very striking to me as well. Okay, I'll just continue in the Gemara for a second. Great. Kufa Amar Rav Nachman, you know, Rachel, before we get into this, because it's already like a different.
Oh, just going back to the question that you mentioned, that it says to Una, Bracha, it seems to be on her, and now all of a sudden we're asking about the almon or bachor, right? That just is striking.
Exactly. Right. I mean, you would have, or if you're very medayik in the tuna, right, then maybe you could have said, oh, well, it's all, it just goes after, you know, it's all just totally on her. Right. Yeah. But one way you can explain this, if we don't want to go into like the matzir direction, could say, to Una is because it's something that's what kind of like owed to her. If you say it's like about Simcha, if we really want to connect, as has been brought up a couple of times, between Simcha and the Shava Brachos, so it's to Una Bracha is in a sense of she's like owed, right, this like extra Simcha. Right, it's not sort of like to Una in the sense of she's the, I guess, object of the bracha, it would be the subject of the bracha. I'm not sure. Subject object always gets confusing to me when we're dealing with people, because they're also subjects simultaneously. But then if it's about, if it's tu'una racha, meaning magiala, right? She deserves, she gets, right? And you have to give her shivime bracha, shivime simcha. Then if there are brachas of simcha, so it's okay, right? She gets, right? Achas basula, achas almana gets, you know, shivime simcha. And we say, well, that's not really true. You say, well, it depends, you know, on the case, right? I wouldn't be inclined to read the whole, that part of the Gemara that way, because it's, right, that's just really the Yom Rishon. But you can't. Okay, fine. So, Kufa Amar of Nachman Amar Elihuna, Barnasan Tana. Minayin Leberchat Chatanim Bashara. How do you know, right, that you need 10 people for Berkat Chatanim? Again, I just think it's so interesting that you don't say Minayin Leberkat Chatanim. We say, oh, well, how do we know that you need 10 people? Right? So it says, right? Vayikach asara anashim zikrei ha'ir vayomer shtivupo. So Boaz goes when he's going to do, when Pliny Almighty says, I'm not going to marry Ruz. So he says, great, let's go. Go, and he takes 10 people from the zikrei ha'ir. And he says, sit here, and tells them, I'm going to marry Ruz. Right? And therefore, we see, says the Gemara, right, says Rav Yehuna bar Nathan, that when you get married, right, you need to do it in front of Asar. Right? Now, okay, yeah, I'll let you guys do the D, okay? Rabavau Amar Me'acha, V'makhelot Baruchu Elokim Mimekor Yisrael. With throngs, with the whole multitudes, or you should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimakor Yisrael, and there's like the diok, mi al iske makor, right? So in Yani Ishus, we should, you know, be blessing Hashem, bimakelot, in the whole kahal. Okay? And then the Gemara says, oh, what is each one do with each other's pasuk? And then there's a third, there's a continuation of the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, bevachim, bekat chatanim, bebet chatanim, Rehud Omer, af bebet arusin, how, right? You do berkat chatanim, even in bet arusin. Right? He's talking Dafka in the area of Judea, where they used to be mityached the chatan with the kala before the actual wedding, after erusin, before nisuin, right? So that they would actually be comfortable with each other, and therefore the mashmaot is that, right, there's a, in order for them to have yichud, right, you would need to first have berkat chatanim before the yichud. Okay, and just, you know, let's give a third, just further along that, there is a makor that basically says that, right, which is, it says, kala below bracha, asura labala kinida. Okay, that, this is Masachis Kala, it's a makor amorai, about Ishas. This is kala below bracha, asura labala kinida, ma nida shlo tavla asura labala, af kala below bracha, asura labala. Even though they're married, they're still asur to each other, right? I think it's kind of saying, oh, just like you can have nida, right, Nida says, right, that, right, just because you're married doesn't mean that you're always mutter one and another. So, two, kala b'lo bracha sur l'bala, u'minayin l'berkat chatanim min ha-Torah, and how do we know that berkat chatanim, you know, is a din? Sh'ne'emar v'yavrachu et rivka. So here's, right, it's not l'mayin la'asara, here's just minayin, and their third makor is v'yavrachu et rivka. And they bless Rivka, right, that, love on Besu, right, Besuol and the mother, you know, gave Rivka a bracha. Minayin shafulu al mana asura, shenemar, v'yikach boaz asara nashim, v'yemur kala mashor bashar, v'azkenim edim, yitain Hashem, right, l'cha, kez, v'yi b'etcha ki b'et peretz, shenatna, amar l'yuda, v'chula. Okay? So what do we have here? Right, we have three mekorot, v'yikach boaz asara anashim, v'akelot barchu et Hashem, en v'yavarchu et Rivka. Okay, so first things, right, what could I do, or what would I do, or what should I do, or what might I do with these three mekorot for Birkat Ha'erusin, for Birkat Hatanim?
Well, I just had the question because I thought we brought the two ones to the left as a source of the 10 men, not for a source of Birkat Hatanim in general. But you're saying that's an assumption?
Yeah, but it's a, like, there's still I'd say there's still a makor also for if I tell you that here's a pasuk that shows that Birkat Chatanim needs to be basara, it also helps me know that there needs to be Birkat Chatanim. I just think it's interesting to be focusing on the basara. Although you're right, it doesn't have to, right? You could say, oh, no, has, you know, just a din that you are nirasara. I would say that still, right, whatever it is that is happening in these psukim, if that's the makor for Birkat Chatanim Basara, then it is a good resource that Birkat Chatanim is somehow connected to that. I'll explain my point. If B'makelot Baruch Hashem Mikor Yisrael was saying that, was something about Talmud Torah, right? So then I'd say, okay, for Talmud Torah, you need Asara. What does that have to do with Birkat Chatanim? Right? So whatever's going on in this pasuk, whatever we're using this pasuk for, is still going to be mishakif. It's still going to show us something about the nature of Birkat Chatani. Right? Same thing for Vayikach Boaz. If it's about a kinyan or yibum, right? Let's say he's doing yibum or chalitza or whatever. So then I say, okay, what's that have to do with us, right? Vayikach Boaz asara anashim mizikne ha'ir. Right. What, you know, why does that show us? What's he doing that shows us that we're dealing with Birkat Chatanim, or that Birkat Chatanim needs to be Basar? Right? So how do you teach each one of these? Okay, so Tehillah saying that Vayikach Boaz Asara Anashim Mizikne Ha'ir is something more like a matir, right? Ooh, I like that, right? Two suggestions from Tehillah, right? That one is maybe it's a matir, right? And it's part of, why is that a really good diak, right? Because it's a way of establishing a status. If it's not namatir, maybe it's part of like the establishing of the status, right? Because what's happening, right? Boaz is trying to either create the ishus or create some sort of connection between him and Rus, right? And sort of create some sort of like formal status, right? So vayikach Boaz asara anashim, he's sitting them down. He's saying, creating this like, oh, I'm going to marry Rus, right? In which case, maybe if it has perfect. Right, is that maybe he asara anashim? It's legal, right? Good typing, right? Right. Quote: the boss case is very legal, right? There's kinyan and stuff. I think that's a really really good point, which is the boss example. One second, here we go. Right. Minad berkat chatanim asara, right? Vayikach asara anashim mizikne ha'ir v'yom ashur po. He sits down these zakinim and he's right, Kovev, he's going to marry Ruth. And if that's really what Birkat Chatanim is, so okay, Birkat Chatanim needs to be Basara because it's part of this formal process that creates Ishus, or it's creating this relationship between them, right? So you could say, oh, it's part of the Matir. I would even say, right, the second part is even stronger association, which is, it's really, it looks like it's part of this formal process, right? As opposed to, right, what would you say about B'makelot, Baruch Hu Elokim Mimakor Yisrael?
I would say it's more about Ishus in general.
And a little more. I need a little
more. Oh, yeah. We didn't fully finish even this one, but where I thought I was going with the Makor is that at least Rashi was explaining it, that it's the Makor. I mean, it's such like a foundational idea, just like Hakel was so foundational that you required these 10 men. So I feel like we're saying Ishus is such a foundational principle.
So it's like interesting. I would have emphasized like a little bit a little bit differently, but yeah, that's a good point, because Rashi does do that. Right? It's like, oh, this is like a foundational, fundamental value. So it has this like special, right, acknowledgement of that, right? But here it's also, I would say it's more an acknowledgement of something about Klal Yisrael, right, than about the Ishas. Let's say for Boaz, it's part of what's being done, right? Well, here it's more reflective. Makalot Baruch Hashem Elokim. I would even go more than it's literally in Makalot, right? When you have this, right, in throngs, right? Baruch Elokim Mikol Yisrael. Right? You should use this opportunity to be Mivarech Hashem, right? It's like, oh, we have this. Although you're pointing out, Rashi has it the other way, right? It's because this is so foundational, you should use it, and we're going to praise Hashem about it, right? So I would have gone a little bit in the opposite way of saying, oh, this is such a right foundational get together that it's an opportunity to bless Hashem, right? And right, a wedding is also very much a communal event, right? I think when we did the Kiddushin stuff, we talked a lot about how part of Ishos is not only between the two of them, but about the two of them expressing something vis-a-vis the community, right? Kind of creating an exclusive entity within the community that's separate from the community, right? It's almost defined by its separateness inside the community. It's not like outside of the community, but like here's the community, right? They're separating, they're like their own separate place in it. So Makelot, Baruch Hu Elokim, Mikol Yisrael, it's like this very fundamental get together of the Tzibur, and now it's an opportunity to bless and bless Hashem. Right? So those are two extremes. And the third, right, is our third Makor. Right, or less the makor, as we'll deal with the makor and the din separately. The makor of our Baruch Hu et Rivka is time an opportunity to give a bracha to someone, right? It's not even a berachas hashavach. It sounds like it's a bracha. It's like it's a bua bracha. It's a gedolim bracha, right? Baruch Hu et Rivka is when we say, you know, give someone a bracha, we don't mean asher, you know, Borei minim in a ha'adam, and we don't mean, asher kedishanu metzosa vitzivanu, and we don't mean borei minay, you know, or shekocho gvuraso, or atay v'metiv, right? We mean, you know, when you say give someone a bracha, we mean like give them a blessing, right? So maybe, right, it's a... It's an opportunity to give them a bracha. When people got married, give them a bracha. Right? Now, but the actual din, kalabal bracha sura the bala kanida, is clearly mashma that it's a matir, right? So I think we have four options here. Right? We have, it's part of like the kinyan, right? It's shevach vahoda. It's a bracha to the chasan and kala, right? Or it's like a matir. Right? Now, I put in like the possibility also that it's like a bracha sa mitzvah. That's a little more difficult, because I would say that if there's going to be a bracha sa mitzvah, and again, to contrast this with bracha sa irisin, right, would be more compelling as a bracha sa mitzvah. While Nisuin is much, much harder to say that it's Berachas HaMitzvah. Although, the Rambam said, Tzach Levarach Berachat Chatanim Bebet HaChatan Kodem HaNisuin Behin Sheish Brachos Ve'eluhin. Right, he says it has to be done before the Nisuin. And it should be underlined with Kodem HaNisuin. Okay? What is that? Okay? So some people are medayik, in the Rambam, why should it be kodam anisuin? they say, well, because maybe it's a berachas mitzvah, right? You got to do it before the nisuin because it's a bracha on the nisuin, right? Just it's, you know, seven long brachos on the nisuin. They don't sound like berachas mitzvahs, but they're really just berachas mitzvah. Okay? Yeah. I'm reminding you about that in a second, Jordy, and I'll... Okay. The idea, like, it's kodem on nisuin, so I'm like, oh, that it must be bracha mitzvah. Now, Rambam actually says that according to his father, nisuin is actually like a mitzvah. Okay, and that's also, and he says that's why the Rambam puts it in part in the koteret to mitzvos ishus. He has nisuin in there. He says, oh, because nisuin is really just part of the mitzvah or zikar mitzvah. Now, that's very difficult. Seems right. We saw it doesn't seem like that's really what's going on in the Rambam. But that could be one way to explain it. I mean, definitely some people say, oh, it has to be done kodem hanisuin because it's a bracha samatya on the nisuin. That's not how it's like a bracha samitzvah, right? Okay. Now, when we actually look at the brachos, right, we come away with a different perspective, right? Because the brachos don't sound like they're, let's say, brachos ha-mitzvah, brachos ha-matir, right? It's difficult to really wrap your head around what they are, right? Brachos ha-sane basara, kol sheva, amri huda v'hushaba upanim chadashos, right? Again, by the way, right, what's the meaning of panim chadashos, right, in this whole story? Right, so And the other, like, doesn't, you know, what's going on? Right? Baruch Hashem Kin Machlam Asher Baras Asam V'Simcha Chatam Ekala Gidar Rina Yisrael Echela Avav Achva V'Shalom V'Reut Mi'ara Hashem Kin Yishama V'Yarei Yidar Chuzi Shalaim Kol Zatazon Kol Simcha Kol Chatan Kol Kala Kol Mitzalot Chatanim Michupatam Anarim Mishtei Nigiatam Baruch Hashem V'Simcha Chatan Kala. Right? And etc. Right? So what's up with that? Right, so how does this work? So one option is, again, right, maybe you can say it's kodem nisuin mibrachas hamitzvah. It's very difficult to explain what the brachos are. Why are you, if it's brachas hamitzvah, how could you do it kol sheva? Right, how could you do it again? You did it once. You did the mitzvah. You're done. Right. The Rambam says linim bekat nisuin nahagu she'en mevarchin ela la'achav shetikanes achupa. So the Rambam says, actually, you don't do it before the wedding, before the nisuin. You do it after the nisuin. Why? L'fisha in brachot halalu ela birkot tefila v'shevach. Right? They have to be birkot ha-shevach. Exactly. Sammy's pointing. I was like, it's clearly birkot ha-shevach. So you should do it after you have what to say shevach on. Teda harei mevarchin otan kol sheva. How can you say it for 7 days, right? If it's anything but birkot ha-shevach. And that's what it sounds like from the halachot gedolot, the bag. But the Rambam Zal katab beperek yud melechot yishut sheitzarich levarich otam kodem nisuin. V'chein dat haraman. V'lo mevnei shi bechala ma'asher amru kol mitzvot kulam mevarchim aleihem over la'asiyatan. Don't think that it's because it's a berkat ha-mitzvah and you're supposed to make a bracha over la'asiyatan. Sharei elu berkot ha-shevach. Ela mevnei shechupa yichud hi ubaya ru'ya lebiya. Why should he do before, according to the Rambam? Because kalab lo bracha asur lebala, and therefore, in order for chuppah to be a chuppah l'roi lebila, which according to the Rambam is necessary for nisuin, so they need to already be mutter to each other. Now, it doesn't quite explain, well, why would it be kalab lo bracha asur lebala kenida if it's a bracha sashavah, right? So again, right, this the approach of Berachas HaShevach works really well doesn't explain well Kalabla Blacha through the Balakanida, which, you know, he's using to explain why the Rama would say to do it before the Nizuin. But it's still, you know, just as big a question on him. Well, what do you do about why on earth would that be true? Okay, now, from the perspective of the Rambam, it doesn't seem like the Rambam thinks that it's a Berachas HaMitzvah, right? One is because elsewhere, the Rambam says that he has to be over last year. When he's talking about other Mibrachos, he says, oh, you got to do it over last year, son, right? So here he doesn't say, oh, you do it before because of over last year, son. So it implies that it's not the same thing. Now, number two is the Rambam has this very interesting formulation. He says, If I woke you up in the middle of the night and I said, guys, if you say Sheva Brachos, right, without Nisuin, you didn't do Nisuin. Because you didn't do Nisuin yet. You would say that, thank you very much, Avigdor. That's actually probably an accurate statement due to the fact that if you haven't done Nisuin, then you didn't do Nisuin yet, and therefore you are not Nisuin, right? Like, why are you telling me that, right? If Nisuin you do not do, be Nisuin you are not, right? My Kamash Malan, right? So why does the Rambam have to tell you, come up with this, like, oh, if you do Sheva Brachos, but you don't actually do Nisuin, then you still aren't Nisuin, right? Now, what's even more interesting is that of all people, Rambam has one of the most machmir opinion about Nisuin. Because the Rambam thinks that for Nisuin, you need Bia, Yichud Harai Labia, right? If you thought for Nisuin, let's say that Badekin counts as Nisuin, other stuff counts as Nisuin, so I'd at least a little bit understand, like, oh, Chuppah, Yichud, Badekin, everything under the sun counts as Nisuin, right? So then at least I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, you think everything counts as Nisuin. So like, you think that, like, saying some brachos should count as Nisuin, right? Why not? But the Rambam doesn't think that, right? So it's even more, it was already bizarre, but now it's even more, it's even super bizarre because if there's anyone who would have no Havamina, right, that saying brachos should count as Nisuin, it would be the Rambam, right? Ires bikinis lechupa v'lo biyach bechat chatanim areze nesua gmura v'chozom avarech afilu achar kama yamin. So the Rambam says, and if you did nesuin without the brachos, don't think that it didn't work, right? Nesuin even without brachos counts as nesuin. And furthermore, you could be chozer umavarech afilu achar kama yamin. So first of all, we know that a bracha is never ma'akev, right? A bracha is a mitzvah, is not ma'akev. So why would you think so? Why would you think that the bracha would create nisuin? And then, right, one thing that is at least pretty compelling is it can't be that the Rambam thinks that it's like a berachas hamitzvah, because if you don't make the bracha, normally it's too late, right? If you miss your slot for saying the bracha, then you missed your chance. And here, right, you could be chozer mevarech afilu achar kama yamin. Okay, fine. But if you, and he says you should get married when she's still a nida, because you need yicharai labia. V'im avar v'nasah u'birech eno chozer mevarech. But if you did the brachas, it works fine. This Rambam is very, very strange. It clearly tells us that the Rambam sees something very fundamental in Kat Chatanim, that we'd have a Havamina that it would create Nisuin, right? And we have this Havamina that it could be Ma'akev than Nisuin if you didn't do it. As it clearly you see it as something being very, like, important, right? Okay. Yeah, Eitan.
Okay, hopefully this will work. I also, it was coming in and out, so this comment might be totally off. But could you say maybe that the words of the Sheva Brachot alert the Edom kind of what's happening, and then it's the Edom Lachaim Davar, and instead of giving just the Tabat or the Chuppah, this could kind of serve as alerting the Edom what's happening, which then makes it Lachaim Davar and creates the Lassoon.
It's a interesting. I like it. I would, move the focus away from the Edim, maybe to, let's say, the Chasan and Kala, but I very much like the idea, and I'll go into it more in a minute. But yes, right, meaning like this. So actually, something that I heard from my father, which is, we say, right, Kol Mishalo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu Lo Yatzah Dechavas Ve'Lehem Pesach Matzor Mar, right. And it's like, well, right? It's one of the bizarre things that you say on Little Seder. And unfortunately, it comes, right? We actually only say it towards the end when all of our Torah time has already been used up. And we're all like, oh, shoot, right? Chatzos is in 5 minutes. So we never actually spend time talking about that saying. But it's really strange, right? And there's a machokas, is it, about Lo Yatzah Yedei, right, Sipra Yetzias Mitzrayim, if you don't say it, or you're not Yotze Pesach Matzah and Maror if you don't say it. Now, what does it mean? Why would you be Yotze Pesach Matzah Maror if you don't say it? Like, you ate matzah, right? You ate Maror. And the answer is, well, maybe, yeah, but the context is key, right? If you don't appreciate, like, the context of what you're doing, so then technically you've done the mitzvah, right, but sometimes it's not just knowing it, right, but actually framing it, right, explicitly is actually key to what you're doing, right? And maybe that's exactly what you need to do for Berachas Eirusin in order to, or sorry, Berachas Nesuin. I keep doing that. Berachas Chatanim, in order to properly frame the Ishas, right, and then I can say, right, that when you do right, that frames what you're doing, right? That creates the ma'amad for the ishas. Okay? Yeah, well, I'll skip the Yerushalmi. We'll get back to it in a moment. Says the Rambam, in the Mor Nevuchim, Mibnei zeh, siva la'asot ma'asa achar. He's explaining the context of ishas, right? He says, Macher achar sheyichda le'elav, after erusin, the Rambam says, oh, what is Nisuin? Right? How do I know about Nisuin? I know about Nisuin from this pasuk about Boaz. And the reason we have this is because what? Is because it's not good enough just to be miyached ishli isha, right? And do kinyan, right? Make it formal. But you also need to tell everybody. Right, which got right back into our shiur about kiddushin, right? The idea of like both commitment and the idea that creates like a unit within the tzibur. So you need it to be a commitment, right? It needs to be a formal commitment, and there's erusin, but it also needs to be something that exists and is mufusam and right, creates their own separate entity in the tzibur. And part of the ishas is, right, creating that entity within the tzibur. Ba'ikach bo'az asara anashim. Right, which our Gemara just said was for Berachas Chatanim. Right? So, perhaps, and this is what my father, or a version of what my father says about the Rambam, not quite as fleshed out, but that really for the Rambam, right, the Rambam is seeing Berachas Chatanim as part of Nisuin, right? It's part of what creates Nisuin. It's part of what creates, right? The complete Ishas is both being mefarsemed in front of other people, number one. Number two is framing it in the terms of, right? In Gan Eden Mikadem, right? And Asher Barach Sason V'Simcha Chatan VeKala Right? Samech to Samach Reim Auvim, Kesamecha Yitzircha Beganez and Bikedem, Brachat Hashem, Samech Hatan Vekala, really framing the Ishas in that context, right, is not just a Berachat, it's not Berachat HaShavach alone, right? It seems like it's a little bit of a Berachat HaShavach, a lot of the words are Berachat HaShavach, but it's not just a Berachat HaShavach, right? It's something that frames the Nisuin. It's something that gives meaning to the Nisuin. Right, especially when we remember that a large part of Nisuin is about de facto, right, acknowledging that they are a couple and that they are a couple, right, in the le'ene hatzibu, right, and before the eyes of the whole congregation. So it's framing them and their ishas and the Nisuin, right. So it should be done before, but it's also berachas hashavach. It's many ways it seems like it's a berachas hashavach. But it's really part of what creates the Nisuin itself, right? So that also can explain to us why we have this very strange, like, Kalab lo bracha asur labala kinida. So, yeah, because otherwise they don't have complete Nisuin, right? It's kind of, it's a chisaron in the Nisuin, right? And that's why the Rambam would say, well, you might have thought that you could just have berchas chatanim, right? You also need the de facto nisa lechupa and the right the beginning of them being a couple and tchilat chayei yishut in order for them to also be right their own household. But you would have thought that you could just have berchat chatanim because it's the framing, right? Now if you frame it but you don't actually do it, right? If you say pesach matzah mar but you don't actually eat matzah and mar, so you're not actually going to be yotze, right? But if you don't say Pesach Matzah Mar, then you didn't frame it, and then, right, there's a chisaron, right? And you would even think, Iris v'kineis l'chubav v'lo b'rech b'chat l'anim ha'rez ha'niswad mura v'chuzo m'varech ha'fil ha'chat kam yamim. But you still need to do it. You need to be mashlim the b'rechat chatanim. Okay? Now, how can you do it over multiple days, right? Why would you do it for 7 days? So something that's not as difficult anymore, right? If it was a matir, so you do it once. But again, right, I think the Rambam's essentially saying, or my father's explanation of the Rambam, that the Rambam's not really telling you that it's a matir, right? The framing is a matir, right? So, but the framing itself is not necessarily limited to once. The Yerushalmi explains also, right, that Rabbi Yirmiyah Savar Meimar, basically the question is, what about, why do we do it for 7 days, right? So the Karbonades' explanation of the Yerushalmi, the way he wants to explain the words of the Yerushalmi is, Mevarchin afal pi gav she'in motziin ba'ota sha'a, d'chos shiva kimota muta lefana. In the case of Avelos, the all 7 days of Avelos, if the mate is like in front of you, right, you feel the presence of the mate, right? It's as if you're actually still at the chasana, right? It's just a continuation of the chasana. So again, you can use that to explain berachas hashavach. It's very hard to explain berachas. You can't really explain berachas hamitzvah that way, right? It's very hard to explain a matir berachas hamatir that way. But if it's about framing the ishas, even if it's a din, dafka in the ishas, right? And not a berachas hashavach that we're just doing afterwards, but this is all a continuation of the actual wedding, right? And then you get into the context of, well, what is panam chadashos? What do all those things do, right? Then actually, let's give you like a little bit of a spoiler, but maybe panam chadashos for the Rambam is really like you're reenacting the wedding for the panam chadashos. He's like, okay, that's a little bit weird. Why would you do that? Why would we dafka say Shavuot Brachos then? The answer is, well, what did the Rambam say Shavuot Brachos were? Right? She farsim hadavar v'hu anisuin v'yikach bo az asar anashim yiziknei ha'ir. Right? The whole part of nisuin is the pirsim hadavar. So you have panim chadashos, you have new people suddenly show up, right? So what do? You're mefarsim hadavar l'fnei. I mean, you are mevarich the Shavuot Brachos, which is part of the Pirsim HaDavar of the Nisuin and of the framing Nisuin as what is Nisuin, what is Ishas, right? Vis-a-vis the Chasan and Kala and the Tzibur, right? And then, you know, they like, that actually makes sense, something that you're repeating the whole thing. Okay. Yes. Okay. So Adkan, right. And anyone who needs to zip off to like other things, but Yishkach. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I just had the question, if we're saying it's framing it to give over this the Tzibur idea that there are a couple within the Tzibur, I still have questions because this feels like the text of Sheva Brachos doesn't really like lend itself to that. And then also where in the Rambam does he say that specifically, that it's a Tzibur? I just didn't see him. Is that like Lip Persim or whatever? Right, I hear that.
Now, I'd say two things, meaning the framing, right, is not the framing is not that it's a Tzibur thing, right? The framing is about the nature of Ishas, right? And that's why the words of the bracha are about Hashem, right? He created the world, and he created people, and then he created people with Tzelem Elohim, right? And Hitzkin Lomenu Binyan Adayad, right? Meaning, right? Chava, right? So it's the Sisa Galakar, because it was another Tzimcha. Like the that's by the way very tziburi, right? Why is that in there if it's really about Ishas? But if it's about Ishas, but it's also part of Ishas is this idea of the connection of the tzibur, right? And the chibur to Am Yisrael also actually does make sense. Samech to samach reim alim kesamech yitzircha beganet mikedem, right? Moshe baras the son of Tzimcha chatan mikalai gilam yidid chedva ava chavshal reyas mehir Hashem lekin yisham bar Yehuda chutzos Yishlaim kol sasan kol simcha. Right, this interweaving of Ishas, right, Gan Eden, Yitziras Adam v'Chava, and the Shleimut of the Tzibur, actually, I think works really nice with the idea that this is about framing Ishas, right? But part of framing Ishas is also Kirsum Hadavar, right? This idea of showing that this couple is a couple to the Tzibur, and as part of the Tzibur, and that's Gufa Vayikach Ba Zasara Anashim, so we're framing it Klape the Tzibur, which is also why it needs a minion, and there's actually a tshuva, there's a machlokas rishonim. Let's say you live in a town with less than 10 people, can you get married there? Right? Are you able to get married? Let's say you live in some tiny little town in Europe, and you don't have 10 people. You don't have 10 men for a minion. Can you get married? Right, so I think there's a Rajba who says no, you can't, right? And I think there's a Shlomo Sadeshin, maybe one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, and he says no, right? Sorry, he says yes, you can, right? Why? Because it can't be that if you live in a town without 10 people, you couldn't get married, right? So. You know, so one of the chronim said that, like, you know, just mochiach hadavar ba'atzmo, right? You can't prove that something isn't true because if it was true, it would be true, right? I mean, his argument was what? If it was true that you couldn't get married without a minion, you wouldn't be able to get married without 10 people present, which is, right, tautological, right? Or in Gemara language, mochiach hadavar ba'atzmo. You're proving something by itself. You're saying, if you can't get married without a minion, then you wouldn't be able to get married without a minion. And since you obviously could get married without a minion, you can get married without a minion. Right? So it's like that's circular logic. You can't do that. Right? Although, you know, sometimes circular logic actually is very straight. It's very yashadik. So, but how on earth, what do you mean, right? You can't get married without a minion present? But, again, if part of the idea of Ishas is, A, Ishas is kovea you and your relationship vis-a-vis the Tzibur, number one. Number two, right, is that you know, Sheva Brachos is really a formal way of doing that, right? Ve'ikach bo azasara anashim, then maybe in a chanami, right? Maybe and the Sheva Brachos, which is the thing that needs a minion, not a suin, right? So it, for that to be something that like, oh, she's, you can't get married without it, right, implies that it's really part of what's building the Ishas, part of the building block.
Thank you so much, Rob.
This is very off topic.
Off topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really, but we
like turn off the recording off topic or like
no, it's not that up. It's not like, no. Oh, here's all my personal life problems, although that would be interesting
for different years. You can always connect this. So, yeah, it could be about like, you know, if it's a Hilchos Brachos thing, then we can always connect it in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It all relates. This is my question is more about the woman being in the Ada. And I feel like we talked about it when we did Kiddushin a little bit. And I remember it was like, there was some Hava Amina of like, oh, maybe there could be 10 women somehow. When what we were describing, it would make sense that a woman would be a part of the Tzibor. So theoretically, hopefully. so therefore you would assume that if women are present, that's part of the 10. I don't know. I don't know. I have a memory of us talking about it, but maybe it's just like the things that, doesn't come up here? No, probably not.
Right? It does. It talks about chasam in a minyan, which also, by the way, is super interesting, right? Because it's like, why wouldn't he be in a minyan, right? Like, why would he think otherwise?
Why would he?
I mean, we say that Chassan's been a minion, but like, why would you think that he doesn't count as part of the minion? There's a minion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would like a little bit reflect, like, what are we looking for in this minion, right? Are we looking for there to be a bunch of people, right?
Right.
Which I guess would. If we're looking for people,
women are people.
Then, like the argument, like women are people too, right? It's not only
hopefully.
A chiddush.
Hopefully, in halacha, women are people.
Yes, yeah, definitely. You know, in halacha, women are people too. You know, it's you know, society has always had a little bit of trouble with getting that fully figured out. But if we're just looking for people, like, you know, women are people too. If we're looking for like the formal idea of like the tzibor, this like formal concept of like the representatives of the community, like, you know, communal responsibility. So then you need like a minyan, right? The fact that the chasan count, if you're talking about like it needs to be witnessed by people or seen by people, so then you'd say dafka the chasan's not min a minyan, right? Because he's doing something. Right. And the point is for him to be doing it in front of a lot of people. So he's not doing it in front of himself. If it's the idea that like there's like a Sibor present, right? And with like in that more formal concept, then he would count, right? Because, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
The point is that for there to be a minion. I don't think that right, we don't talk about other than a minion yet.
Right, I didn't. I didn't think we discussed it in the Gemara itself. I just thought we brought it up as a conversation at some point when we did.
Yeah, I'm sure we did discuss it. But I'd say, yeah. Like, I think the same, like a similar idea, or maybe this is even like kind of connected to really the topic that it came up in. Is good for that. So, like, if we're talking about just you need people, I think there are cases where we want. I'm really blanking on it. But I think you're right. I think there are cases where we want it to be in front of people, right? And then we're not. Then it doesn't have to be.
We're not picky. Yeah.
Right. No. Then it doesn't need any formal. Yeah. You know, I guess that's a good way to put it. We're not picky, right? We just need people. You know. Well, if we need, you know, an Ada, a minion, right, to formally represent the Tzibor, so there's got to be people who are. Or a chayiv in the, you know, in those tziburi things, or responsible for those tziburi things.
It's just interesting to represent. I guess because if we're saying the couple itself is almost like a tziburi entity, then mm-hmm. I guess you could say that in halacha in general, the man part of that couple is the one that's the emissary to the community. But because she's so involved mm-hmm. in what a couple is, she's like kind of the other half. in my head, it would make sense that it's about the woman, the community also accepting her. I don't know.
No, absolutely. But I would say that, meaning if it's about there needs to be a minion. So then I would say the pickiness goes in the is not going to be present in the opposite direction. I mean, even the chasm could count towards the minion, right? Because we need a minion, right? And if it was about, we need it to be done like mul the tzibur, right? And then neither of them would count.
Right.
Meaning, is it that like the tzibur needs to be present, or that it's about like them vis-a-vis, you know, meaning mul as opposed to the tzibur, in which case the chasan also wouldn't be min ha-minyan.
Right.
He says how I would see it.
Right. So I guess I was saying maybe you could theoretically make the argument that you would need women in your tzibur because generally the woman would need to acknowledge that they are a couple. I don't know. Because
yeah, I think it's like
styling.
It's like from like a halachic like form perspective. I don't think
that has any.
I think you can make a formal argument like that. You know, I definitely think like you should definitely invite men and women to your weddings.
Yeah,
and that's a good. That definitely is a argument sore point. Like, what?
When you like go to Sheva Brachos and it's like, oh gosh, like we really just need to find all our men, and you're like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. You do need to ask.
I'll be like just an extra mouth to feed and like not actually giving anything to this.
Right. You don't.
Yeah.
Don't get us towards the tent. The best solution to that is to just chillax on the whole extra Sheva Brachos thing. Like you did the Sheva Brachos at the wedding, you're Yotze. You know?
Okay. And not seven. Oh, that's actually another question I had. It's the way we were reading the Ketubot Zayin Memet Aleph, like the end of the first Gemara, was that you maybe for the minimum would be seven for a betula. That was like the last part of it. Yeah. Yeah. It says Milta.
The Bracha Kol Shiva. Yes. Yeah, so it's not a minimum, right?
Oh, okay.
It was that up to, as opposed to, I want it to be only that one.
Because it said it's a butz rami shiva, the last line.
The lake of besula the butz rami shiva. Oh yeah, meaning that's just meaning like they can always do shiva, even if the besula marries an almon, right? She's still gonna have shiva simei shiva brachos, and not just one, even though he's an almon.
Wait, so how does the word limiting, like the batsra, we were reading it as it was at least seven in that case.
Yeah, I mean, batsra is less. Lake right. Basula, okay. The batsra mishiva means you never have a basula who's going to be eligible. It's eligible for less than seven. You're right. It sounds like it's she's going to always have at least seven, has to have seven.
Okay, but you're saying she could have
less than seven, but it means that she'd always be. She'd never be eligible for less.
Okay, because then I was surprised. Like, I don't think we do any more than seven. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it is. It's a typical formulation. Now, I think we did two, maybe three days of Sheva Brachos.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you don't have to do Sheva Brachos.
Yeah. It's not going to be Misameach.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you just need a break.